Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Right, right, amen, amen, hallelujah. Grace and peace in Jesus, Shabbat shalom, everyone. Grace and peace. Hallelujah, Shabbat Shalom. Oh my God, it is another Sabbath. And the Father is so merciful that He's allowing us to take part in it. I just want to say, Job Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel, here with my beautiful Rev Serene Israel, and you are listening to the Sounds of Living Waters Radio Blog Talk. So we are the Commonwealth of Israel. And tonight, we're dealing with riches and gains. Riches and gains. What is riches and gains? Like, you know, people will hire you to think being rich is evil, you know, and that it's a sin to be rich. No, it's not.
Amen.
Stop. it's not a sin to be rich. Else, you know, he just said everybody up to die that's rich, right?
Right.
You know, now people that's in this 21st century that's far from God, well, they can be in a whole lot of trouble because of their lifestyles, you know, and the way the world is going for them because, well, some of us in this 21st century have forgotten God, you know, because of our money. You know, we got money, cars, and a lot of us is making money through methods of this world. And you can only obtain it if you go through the world. So it is what it is. It's nothing wrong with having money. It's nothing wrong with being rich. Not even nothing wrong with being wealthy. Solomon was the richest man that ever lived. How do you get past that? And God made him that way. But yet he kept the commandments and statutes of God. A lot of us don't consider that David was just as rich as Solomon. You know, David was going to build a temple. That means David had the money. That means David had all the material that Solomon had to build a temple. David had it to do. So it wasn't like David was sitting up there running around in a potato sack. Stop. You know, every time we look at, you know, Israel in them old movies, man, we fighting Roman armies with wooden staves, you know, and calling on God. No, we had a real army with chariots and swords and spears and armor and all that good stuff. We had engines of war. We had bulwarks. We had all that good stuff. Stop letting this media downplay the kingdom. God said he taught us how to war. Yes. He is a man of war. When David went out, he was undefeated, undefeated. You see, so write that out. You see, just knock that out. Just get that out to you. There's nothing wrong with having something. You know, people think, you know, being in poverty, you know, like the Catholic Church, they swore poverty and all that nonsense. No, they didn't, because they're the richest institution on the planet. That's not exactly swearing poverty, Jack. You know what I mean? They're the most richest institution on the planet. I mean, the richest institution on the planet. And so we can't sit up there and hold that.
Amen.
You know, what is it? So what is it about being rich and what is these things? We have to look into that so we can separate ourselves. So when God bless you, you don't get caught up like the world. You know, who knows, man? You might come up, you know, and you may end up with triple digits. You know what I'm saying? The thing is that you can't approach this thing like the world. You can't forget the God of Israel, and you can't forget that you are walking on a path.
Amen.
Okay? So, let's get started in this precept. Rhea, you got a scripture? And if you do, let's get started. And brothers and sisters, brothers, if you can, uncover your head and stand and face Jerusalem. And sisters, if you can, cover your head and we can stand and face Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me. In thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old as I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hand. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off my enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. I have read Psalms 143, verses 1 through 12. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we give our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray, Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sin and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth the physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, with the light and blessing us because they see your light and your countenance upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their family. Father, have mercy and send forth the Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, and I'm out to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform. And Father, have mercy on them to hear it, and give them a mind to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen.
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 So let's start this in Matthew 24 and verse 3. Matthew 24 and 3, and we're not going to get all into the prophecies of Matthew 24 and 3, but I'm just going to bring up some exhortation out of 24 and 3, and I want you to pick it up at verse 3.
Amen.
All right, so when you receive it, read.
Amen. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Matthew 24 and 3 reads, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars."
Hello, hello. So he said, many shall come in my name and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So this is what he's warning us about. But skip down to verse 11, okay?
Amen. Matthew 24 and verse 11 reads,
mm-hmm.
"And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved."
So you're going to have a lot of false prophets out here that's going to lead people away from the word of God into sin.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because iniquity is abounding, the love of many is going to wax cold. Why? Because you're going to have many preachers out here that's testifying of sin and the love of sin. And they're going to turn people away from the truth. You know, and it's a lot of that going on now. And even in the Israelite community, you know, it's a lot going on. Just a lot. You got to guard your spirit, man.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. So you have to, you know, really be careful, because right now the attack is on the ministry and the people of God to lead them away. You know, that they may be abounding in iniquity, that the God of Israel may find them unworthy.
Mm.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 11 and 1.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1 reads, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, ye might well bear witness."
See, it's another Jesus being preached. It's another story being told. And people is being covered in another spirit, except for the spirit of the God of Israel. And he testified to that thing, because he said, they're covered in the spirit, but not of me. And then he talked about they got on strange apparel. You know, and we're going to meet God like that if we don't clean ourselves up. He's going to say, friend. He said, one came in with the strange garments on. He said, friend, where are you coming from? You know? And when he said friend, that means that person knew God and he knew him. Why was he dressed differently? Because he got deceived somewhere, you see, and he had on the wrong garment. Doesn't have anything with physical garments. It's everything to do with the spiritual garments.
Okay.
Skip down to verse 13 and continue.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13 reads, For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also being transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work.
So Satan got ministers. Satan got apostles.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So you had to be conscious of it. If he got ministers and apostles, then he's going to be teaching us the things that Satan is ministering. And what did he offer Jesus? What did he minister to Jesus? The world. The love of the flesh. And ultimately the worship of him for those things. So that's his ministry. And he got men that did bow to him and took those things that he presented them. Christ is showing us it's better that you don't. It's better that you live in the wilderness and be hungry and not have the things that you would versus taking a bribe from the enemy. And you lose your salvation.
Amen.
Let's go into Job chapter 21 and verse 7.
Amen.
Job 21 and 7. When you receive it, read.
Job 21 and verse 7 reads, wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? That's the question. Hold on. What do we do? 70. Maybe the water's right here. Okay. Job 21 and 7. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them.
You see, he asked this question, where is the wicked? Where do they live? You know, they ain't fearing God. There is no fear of God. They can care less about those things that pertain to God. You know, where if you're rich, you know, you're not lacking, so you're not dependent upon something to come in numerical term unless you're physically ailing. That's the only time the rich is looking for somebody, looking for something from God, when they physicians and they dietitians and all those things fail them. So when all those things aren't there, then all of a sudden they want to start looking for God. You know, but the Lord is telling you now to seek him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you're rich, seek him now. You see, but the word of God tells us that it'll be harder for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God than getting a camel through an eye of a needle because of the pride. Because of the pride. You see? So this is that thing, all right?
Amen. Job 21 and 9 again.
Yeah.
Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull generous and faileth not. Their cow cleaveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the tremble and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave.
No! They listen. When are you getting this said in the book of Job? It was an organ back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you at in the, you know, where you at now that the Lord is dealing with these people? So he's telling us it's nothing new under the sun. It's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
So you got some of these churches, man, and I'm not kicking, I'm not knocking people that's in the church that have money. Because if you're in the church and you got money, you're in a good place. Because at least you're trying to save yourself. You know, and you're just not being rich and out here living a life and turning it up and all that type of stuff. At least you're trying to see God.
Amen.
Okay. The other thing is that he said, where are they? That's the question. Where are they? What are they doing? Read on.
Amen, Job 21 and 13. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways.
See, that's what the rich is saying. See, I'm not talking about those that's actually in a church that's trying to figure it out. You got some rich is actually trying to figure it out. You had abolish. How do you say that word?
What, abolitionist?
Abolitionist, right. You know, they was helping slaves escape. They had money, you know, and they are going to probably receive a lot of salvation, a lot of them, because a lot of them gave their lives up. Talk enough about this. We don't appreciate their work that they did in the kingdom. So you got people like that that's dead. You know, not everybody is a hater, you know. And not everybody is rich, is a prick, you know. Not everybody's a jackass just because they got money. You know, some people, like for instance, when they got that tax cut in the daughter of Disney, got on and just said, look, we just got a big tax cut. Look, I'm rich. I already cut. I got the money. Nothing you can do about it. I'm just telling you what they did for me. And letting you know that this is all going on, people. And y'all need to really know what's happening with y'all money. She didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
She did not have to do that. She didn't have to warn the people about the rich getting more richer.
She said she inherited. She said she didn't work for none of that. That's her inheritance.
Right. So she just shared information all around, you know. So that's that thing.
Amen.
So you can't just assume somebody rich because they got a nice car that they're a jackass. And, you know, they may be a better servant than you. They may be doing more than you are as a servant, you know, because God put it in their power. Who knows? He may put you in the same position, and you'd be like, hey, what's that, man? I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying? And you'd be 86 and everybody. Mm-hmm. Riding past in your brand new car, all your fresh clothes, and forgot all about those things that you said you're going to do.
Yeah, right.
Why? Yeah. This person you've been judging is still doing it.
Mm. Amen.
I'm just saying, you got to be careful with that. Don't get caught up on people having money like they wicked. It's not that. It's not that. Yes, it's a lot of people that have money that's rich, mm-hmm. and they're wicked. And those that are in power, that the powers that be, that the Lord said they are, they are rich. But then you got billions of poor people that's on the earth, that's wicked. So, I mean, ain't no respect a person with God.
Amen.
It don't make any difference how much money you got. He ain't going to judge the rich and the poor. He's going to judge righteously. It don't make any difference how much money you got.
Amen.
You see? Wow.
Verse 15.
Read that 15.
Job 21 and 15 reads, Job 21 and 14, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the might Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit shall we have if we pray unto him?
See, that's somebody that's not trying to serve God. That's a rich person in their pride.
Okay.
You see, but not all rich people is like that. Let me give you a prime example. Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord warned him. He said, and Daniel told him, he said, the Lord set up kings and bring down kings. If you sit up here and say this, that I built this great kingdom all by myself and all this stuff, he said, I'm gonna get you. But then Xerxes said, the God of heaven has commissioned me. He made me king of the world and to build a temple in Jerusalem, to rebuild Jerusalem. What was that? You see? So you got the same thing. You got the same king power, but you got one that's humble, and you got one that was full of pride that had to be humble. You see? So it's a difference. Just because you're in your power and pride and whatnot, you know, it don't mean that everybody is wicked. Or else, as Nehemiah and them don't go back to build a temple, right?
Amen.
Okay. Let's go into Job chapter 22 and 15. Job 22 and 15, when you see your ring.
Job 22 and 15?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Amen. Job 22 and verse 15 reads, "Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down of time, whose foundation was overflown with its blood?" 17. "Which said unto God, Depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me."
See, he filled their houses with that. He blessed them with that. And they say, "You tell God, we don't want to know none about that, but we will, but hey, we'll take all, you know," they set up for that purpose to do what they do. Hence the Herodian. Continue.
Amen, excuse me. Verse 18. "Yes, he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh at them to scorn. Whereas our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumes. Acquaint now thyself with them, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust."
What?
"Then shalt they lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook."
So what's wrong with that? Gold is not paper. So he's telling you, you're going to lay up gold as dust. Look around you, people. That's how much gold you will have around. So he's telling you, you will be filthy rich. It's nothing wrong with it. He's telling you there's nothing wrong with it. You got to be careful about the mindset of wealth and what money will do. Because money can corrupt. Not everybody can handle it.
Amen.
Money can't corrupt. But as you see, the Lord will tell you just by keeping the commandments, he'll bless you like that.
Amen.
You got some of us who, "And I don't know about being rich because, you know, God said, and you fall off in the temptation." That ain't what he just said here. There's nothing wrong with being rich. It's nothing wrong with it. So stop. You know, not everybody is cleft love. Not to say, you know, well, I ain't saying nothing. I'm just saying that, hey, not everybody is just teaching against the commandments of God and trying to get all his money. Where are we?
Job 22:25. Job 22 and verse 25 reads, "Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver."
And what?
"And thou shalt have plenty of silver."
So you're going to have gold and silver? You're going to have gold and dust and gold of Ophir? You ain't seen that gold. And then he said you're going to have plenty of silver, right? What's wrong with that? Right? Continue. And when you look at Job was rich. He had a whole lot. But if you listen at his conversation, you'll find that he was a man that wasn't always about just having money, just that he had it. And what he did was put people to work.
Amen.
Okay?
Job 22 and 26 read, "For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vow. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy way. When men are cast down, then shalt thou say, this is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person."
Read that again.
"When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person."
See, that's what you would tell them because you were there. You were witness. And so here's your witness. So when somebody is in that situation, you say, look, man, humble yourself before the Most High God. He'll lift you up. That's all you got to say. You ain't got to get all off into their business. You ain't got to get all off into the fault. None of that. Because really, literally, that's between them and God. And if you really found out what people are doing, it might corrupt you.
Verse 30. "He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hand." Amen.
Amen. Let's go into Jeremiah chapter 5 and 20.
Amen.
Jeremiah 5 and 23. When you receive it, read.
Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 23 reads, "But this people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their hearts, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholding good things from you."
See, so now you want to be mad that somebody else is being blessed. Everybody want to talk about old things, whatnot. You know, hey, you talk about them all you want. Truth be told, you really wish you had just a piece of his congregation. You really wish that your camp was full like that. You really wish that you had people that would come and visit your camp like they go and visit here. And want to find excuses for it. Oh, yeah, you know, because they worship Satan. They'll never believe in the laws of God. This, that, and this. Just find anything. All because of hatred. But then the Lord said, I'm going to make you jealous of the foolish.
Amen.
I'm going to make you envious. Like that law ain't there. We want to forget that. But then that's not applying us because we're so full of pride, like we're actually not living it out. I hear people talk about old things. I can hear the hate. I don't hear correction. I don't hear what it is that they're getting out of it. I don't hear nothing good. All I hear is hate. TJ, you know, they got their call. They got their call. They may not be where your past is, but they got their call. Sometimes Jake could got a word for you that'll straighten you out. Charles Stanley got a word for you that'll straighten you out.
Yeah.
Shoot, Osteen got me out a whole lot of jam. That's my little cotton candy creep. Y'all better leave him alone. Man, I was down and out and miserable because of Israel, man. But then that's an equalizer because that taught me the other part about God. He may not have all of what we got, but he got that part of him that we're supposed to have. And that is that we're supposed to be uplifting and encouraging and loving and showing that there is a recovery no matter what situation you're in,
amen,
if you believe in God and know that he's able to do it and that you got the power inside of you because you created in his image.
Amen.
What's wrong with that? Unless we're not really listening.
Amen.
We're too busy trying to find a flaw. I'm like this here. everybody that's pointing the finger, man. You know, Shaq said, yeah, you go ahead, you point your finger if you want to, but it's four of them pointing right back at you. Okay? Where are we?
Verse 25, Jeremiah 5 and 25.
Continue.
Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay waste as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men.
So wait a minute. Among the Gentiles, among Ham,
among
my people. Amen. See, we don't want to point out that. Because this is a running prophecy. This isn't a prophecy that, you know, that's just for then. He said, among my people, he means Hebrew Israelites. This day, they are doing this. Read on.
Verse 27. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked.
See that? They overpass the deeds of the wicked. My people is overpassing the deeds of the wicked. So you can sit up and talk about those all day long. What about you? What are you doing? Oh, God is blessing. We got 5,000,000 people that go to class, and he's taking up $250 gazillion in tithes. And then they said, but you surpassing the deeds of the wicked. What's going on with you?
Amen.
Sometimes, man, we got to take a reason for Paul. Because I'm going to tell you, you can have all of that and be the most ugliest person on the planet. I don't care how beautiful you think a woman is. She open up her mouth and she got attitude and stank. All that go out the window.
Right.
You can miss me. All that goes out the window. This guy, he can be the most handsomest person on the planet, and he open his mouth and it smell like a fart. All that goes out the window. You know, like, woo, my eyelashes, are they still there? You know what I'm saying? You know? All that goes out the window. So we don't judge according to sight or things like that. What you're trying to do is to stand in judgment of God. All is just try not to be there, here. Because you could be rich too in an Israelite. See that? You don't just have to be wicked in the world. You don't have to be Herod. You could be an Israelite and in the word is still just as wicked. Because he said, you surpass the deeds of the wicked because you know better. Because you say you know better. Yeah, he made you rich too. Read that again.
And then Jeremiah 5 and 27 reads, as a cage is full of birds, so are the houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxing rich. They are waxing fat, they shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge.
Respect the person. The real truth of God, they're gonna have a respect of person because somebody is putting more money in the tray than the next person. Both of them is probably got two different sins that's on the same level of wickedness, but because this person is poor and that person's family is influential, you roll with that. That's wickedness. Can't have it, man. Can't have it. Come on, read on.
Amen. Jeremiah 5 and 29. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?
The Gentile, the heathens. Is he talking about our nation? Because he sure did visit us for that. Continue.
Verse 30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?
Oh, what are you going to do when it's time for you to stand before him? And he said, my people love this nonsense. You know, we sit up there and we looking at all these people, man, and they, you know, we judging people, man, and this, that, and the other. You're not being judged because you put in a fatter check in a collection box, and you being esteemed by some of the elders, and you get the biggest sugar, the biggest towns, you know, all because you driving a bigger car and wearing the fanciest clothes and so forth. Same thing, same situation. Just a different day. That's not godliness. Godliness is not gain. You see?
Amen.
Continue.
Amen. That was, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah. Let's go into Isaiah 56 and 9.
Isaiah 56 and 9. Mm-hmm. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 9 reads, all ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb, dull.
See, he's not talking about the world. He's talking about his. Our interpretation of this is that he's talking about the Sunday preacher. No, he's not. No, he isn't. Because the first thing he starts talking about is the Sabbath day. And you know they ain't talking about the Sabbath day. Read on.
Amen. Isaiah 56 and 9. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber.
You got some of these ministers, man, that I've seen don't prepare lessons for months at a time because they don't get a chance to preach for months at a time. They stale. They growth is stunted because they don't have to prepare a lesson 3 and 4 times out of a week.
Right.
So they not hot like that. The one that's hot like that is the one that's doing that. But this is what we looking at. And we sitting up here high-fiving and all this type of stuff, like, and all we doing is high-fiving each other.
Right.
Where's the deliverance?
Right.
Where the deliverance? Where the people rescues at? Where the releases at? How come people are still miserable? How come people are still tail-bearing and backbiting and mean and cantankerous and being told it's okay to be cantankerous because I'm cantankerous? Read on.
Amen. Isaiah 56 and verse 11 reads, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand.
How you get to the point now that you can't get enough time? Now, we talking about cleft low dollar, but we're doing the same thing. In the name of the God of Israel. That's all it is. We're doing the exact same thing. What's the difference? And then he said, we cannot understand. Now, you bring something simple as that. How about this? The Passover is just called unleavened bread. How simple is that? The feast, the first day of unleavened bread. How simple is that? You're missing them things.
Yeah.
Don't eat unleavened bread from the 14th day. How simple is that? We can count 3 days and three nights, but we can't count 14 to 7 to 21, knowing that that's 7 days. We're doing too much, man. So I'm just going to say, let's just hope it's years. We doing.
Amen. Isaiah 56 and verse 11. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain and his quarter.
Why are they looking to their own way? If you don't teach that, if you don't teach here, this, that, and the other, like we teach it, you can ride. That's not the word of God. That's not what he said. Yet that's the status quo. And you got cats that spook because they're afraid to really jump in the spirit because they're afraid that they'll be ostracized. Continue.
Verse 12. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant.
Okay, let's look at this a little further. Let's go to St. Jude. Let's pick it up at verse 1.
Amen. Jude chapter 1.
Yes. So now I'm starting to hear all these conversations that I was taught that was bad. And now I'm starting to see it come full circle. This is why we got to be careful with what come out of our mouth.
Amen.
You know, you got people in the churches, man. They got 4 or 5 different spouses in the choir.
Amen.
And that was a running joke until it became a real thing. And you know, what happened to all that kicking people out until we found out, that's a little bit close to home. Can't do that. That's respect a person. A lot of people got kicked out of class because of that. But then when it get close to home, you let it ride. Can't do that. Can't do it. Jude 1 and 1.
Amen. Jude chapter 1 and verse 1 reads, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God, of our God, into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
See, you got some of us that was ordained to lead people away.
We. Ouch. Mm. God forbid.
Some of us have been ordained to lead people away through lust. Because lasciviousness is extreme lust. So some of us was born to lead people away because that's what he said. They were ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. And just because, you know, a woman, and they don't say women, it's talking about you too. Oh, and see, that's talking about men. No, it's talking about men, the species. Don't get caught up on that. You got a lot of women that led women away from the truth. Continue.
Jude 1 and 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not.
So we're not talking about Sunday church. We're talking about us. So why am I talking about somebody in the Sunday church when they don't believe in none of this? They're not reading this. We are. So the story is not to them. It's to us. Those who are called. Now, where you called, that's where you're going to fit in. Read on.
Jude 1 and 6 reads, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved an everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
So they're going to be judged? So if you're going to be judged, that means that you're going to be judged yes or no? So they got a chance?
Yeah, it says judgment.
Okay, go.
Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity.
They speak evil of things they don't even know. Don't even understand. You know. Like your brother got the Bible code out here. You got somebody popping off. Oh, that Bible code, man. You know. You don't even know what that is. And the thing about it is, it's from God and you speaking evil. I had somebody sit up here and tell me that somebody was speaking evil about me in the creation.
Really?
I'm like, how you get to that point? First and foremost, I don't even remember that person ever listening to one lesson. Two, how do you speak of something you ain't never heard? Maybe if you heard it, then you wouldn't be coming to an opinion about something. But I've heard that too. People would do that, and he's not talking about Sunday people. He's talking about us. He said, and my people love this nonsense. We love it. We got to be careful. Verse 9.
Jude 1 and 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending, with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee.
You don't have to sit up there and be talking about people. You ain't got to get into that. Just move around. Read on.
But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves.
See, but they can corrupt themselves in their own sins, though. They can make sure of that. They can make sure what they're doing in the dark, they can make sure of that. Continue.
Verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward,
and perished in the game saying of Korah.
See that? Yeah. That was for the lemon pack. He said, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did Cain do? Killed his own brother? So they will kill their own spiritual brother.
Wow.
And do it for reward of Balaam, other words, for money. And run off in the way of gang stay, getting people caught up in a whole lot of lip service. That's horrible, man.
Okay.
That's 21st century Israelite. This okay. ain't a Sunday Christian thing here. This ain't to them. This is to the Israelites.
Okay.
Stop putting their face on that. This is a warning to us. If you focus on this, being us, then you'll be more slow to do. Titus 1 and verse 8.
Amen. Titus.
Yes, ma'am. 1 and 8.
Titus 1 and 8. Amen. Titus chapter 1 and verse 8 reads, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate.
See, you're supposed to be a hospitality person. You're not supposed to be telling people what they can and can't do. I come in, man, you know, or she come in and she dressed like this and he dressed like that. You're supposed to welcome them. Well, you're supposed to knock them down with love. That's all you can offer. Eventually, they'll see the rest. They'll figure it out. But without love, you have nothing. All you're going to be sowing is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
Amen. Titus 1 and 8. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers.
Continue.
10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake.
For all for money?
Mm-hmm.
Teaching things they ought not to teach?
Mm-hmm.
They teaching against things that's real, teaching things they ought not to teach. You got whole lessons on how not to receive the Holy Ghost? You got whole lessons on not being baptized? This is who you are? This is what we become? Read on.
Amen. Titus 1 and 12 reads, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth.
See, not giving heed to what? Jewish fables. See, don't get caught up. It's not about the world. It's about us. Stop putting the world face on this when it comes to sin and wickedness. He's talking to us. Stop doing that or else we're not going to stop doing it. Where are we?
14.
Continue.
Not giving heed to Jewish and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled.
See, you can't be, if it ain't coming from them, everything is jacked up. It can't be nothing else good out there. Because they foul. You can't rejoice in something that somebody else is doing in the world without the eye suspect.
Amen. Amen. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and into every good work reprobate.
Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and 1.
1 Peter 5 and 1?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
We're almost out of here.
1 Peter 5 and chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. The elders which are among you, I adore, who am also an elder.
See, he's checking the elders. And I'm one. So I can talk smack. Because Paul said, I can do that. So I can bring that. Read on.
Okay. 1 Peter 5 and 1.
See?
The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
Come on.
Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind.
Not for filthy lucre, not by constraint, but just being just that person.
Amen. Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 19.
Amen. Ecclesiastes 10 and 19?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 19 reads, a feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things.
See, what's wrong with it? See, money is not wrong with it. It's not wrong with being rich. It's not wrong with having a feast and eating good. If you are doing like he said, you know, you humble, you're gentle, you're kind, you remember in the poor, so forth. But here it is. Money do what?
Answereth all things.
We want to act like it's a sin to be rich. No, it's not. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 10 and 21.
Amen. 1 Kings 10 and 21.
Who wrote that? That was Solomon, was it?
1 Kings 10 and 21.
He wrote that Ecclesiastes. Go to 1 Kings.
Amen. And verse 21.
Yes, ma'am. 10 and 21. Will you receive it, read?
1 Kings 10 and verse 21 reads, and all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold.
What?
All of King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold.
So that's where we get the big old cups with all the diamonds on it from.
The Holy Grail.
Right, right. I was basically talking about
him.
I know.
That's just out of the Holy
Spirit. But here it is, though. He said, but his cups of gold. What was wrong with that? Hey, Solomon, you kind of excessive, man. Why you got to be drinking out of gold cup? What's wrong with the plastic cup? Why you got to be like, Solomon be tripping, man. Ain't no wrong with no plastic cups. He all by himself.
He can't use the red cups.
He can't use the red cups, man. What's up with that, man? So don't be up on that. See, Solomon, man, he up on, he trying to be flirting with the gold and all of that, yo. Don't know, But then, soon as he turn his back and leave a gold cup around, they go and try to steal it.
Catching
breath. See? Our forefathers understood what it meant to be rich, wealthy.
Amen.
But we wasn't like that. We wasn't wealthy and oppressive. Continue.
1 Kings 10:21. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver.
What?
None were of silver.
Why you tripping on the rich? Because your king had it like that, and they want it like that, and they ain't never gonna get it like that. Come on.
The middle of 21. And none were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. Verse 22. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish in the navy of Haran. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and ape and peacock.
So his navy went and brought gold back. So David had a navy. Because that's David's navy. He set that army up. People think that came with, no, that didn't come with Solomon. That came with David. Solomon inherited it. People had you to think, you know, that temple that Solomon built, that he came out of his pocket. David was going to build a temple himself and let me know that he had the temple already faded. That temple cost $55 billion to put together. It'd be close to $60 billion now to put together now. And David had put all that together. Solomon just inherited it. But if you listen to David, you would have never knew he was that broke off, that David was a billionaire. You know what?
Amen. 1 Kings 10:23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom.
So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with being rich? Okay. Saying that God made him rich.
Amen.
What's wrong with it? It's nothing wrong with it. So stop hating.
Amen.
Just hope and pray the Lord will bless you. Or if not, just be content with what you got. You know what I mean? All right. So just be happy with your super pad, your super CTA pad.
Amen.
Whatever it may be. You know, your little bike, your Uber, whatever you have, you get down and how you get around, be happy because the Most High is showing you his will. That's all you're supposed to be happy with.
Amen.
Wow.
Verse 24.
Continue.
1 Kings 10:24 reads, and all the earth stopped to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold.
They're steady making him rich. Richer. He already had ships bringing him riches. And they still bring him money. Continue.
And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices.
And what?
Armor and
weapons,
spices.
Weapons. So stop acting like we were sheep herders. Not everybody was a sheep herder. Not everybody ran behind sheep. Read on.
And spices, horses and mules, a race year by year. 26. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance.
So Jerusalem had Egypt faded with gold, and they ripped Egypt off. Egypt was so full of gold, you mean to tell me we busted them? We blew past Egypt? Go to 1 Kings chapter 3 and 5.
1 Kings 3 and 5.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5 reads, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day.'"
Mm-hmm.
7. "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemy, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee."
How absolute is any?
None.
Continue. So that killed that Amazon dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Solomon had him, got him faded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
And verse 13 reads, "And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." Amen.
Okay. Continue.
Oh, this is something I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to read that 13. He said, "And I've given thee that which thou hast not asked for, both riches." So what's wrong with it? Nothing. So stop acting like it is. So you see somebody rich and they got money and they got a big super camp or a big super church and this, that, and the other. That's between them and God. You know, everybody ain't selling their soul to the devil like you probably would. You know, the thing is, this is that. Just do you.
Amen.
Be about your truth. And who knows what God will do for you?
Amen.
As long as you live in somebody else's truth, you'll never be your pure you. You'll never be your best you because you're too busy being somebody else.
Amen.
All right? Last verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 6. No.
1 Timothy?
Yes. 6. Ah, no. 1 Chronicles 7. I want to read that. 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and 4.
1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1?
Yeah.
Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 1 reads, "Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains.' Then Nathan said unto David, 'Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee.'"
Sometimes a prophet can speak too fast. Go ahead.
Verse 3. "And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell David my servant, thus said the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in.'"
See, he had the power to do it. That temple that Solomon built, David could have built, because David had the resources.
Amen.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
David wasn't no chump, boy. He was a king. He was rich. He was broke off. The temple was that temple would be worth almost $70 billion.
Oh, now it's up to $70 billion.
You know what? I forgot about the doors. It'll be almost worth $400 billion because we forgot to put the donuts on the door. Now, but I'm just saying, man, I'm just trying to bring up the fact that David was super rich, and nobody, you can't pull David out like that, because when you read David, you don't get that from him. And that's the way it is. That's how you're supposed to be when you're broke off, when you got it like that. Nobody ain't supposed to know you like that. That's why, you know, look at Marvel and some of these rich people, man, they have it on tennis shoes that look like they was about 20 years old. They have on Nike Bruins. You be like, what? Well, yeah, I bought these like 30 years ago. They're like my favorite shoes. You kidding me? And these cats are filthy rich. But that's not the end game for them. Now let's go to 1 Timothy. No, we read that already.
You did?
Yes, ma'am. We read that already.
I listened to
you. No, we're not sharing it.
Okay. So the last one is 1 Timothy.
1 Timothy chapter 6 and 6.
Okay. 1 Timothy 6 and 6?
Yes.
First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 reads, but godliness with contentment is great gain.
What?
But godliness with contentment is great gain.
See, that's really what time it is, man. Just be content. Godliness with contentment, that means you could be filthy, rich, or poor. He didn't say, you know, being content with just being a poverty, even though there were some that are. And there are some that is. But be content with where you at. And if you're rich, be content with where you at, but be content in godliness.
Amen.
Right? Remember this. Peter asked the question. You know, he said, man, see how hard it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom. He said, man, how anybody going to be saved? He said, man, with God, anything, all things is possible. Right?
Amen.
Even forgiving of our sins. Continue.
Amen. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7 reads, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
That killed that Egyptian doctor, right? Mm-hmm. That must have still been flowing around. Continue.
Nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore content.
Come on.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and despair, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts.
Now, they that will to be rich.
But they that
will be rich. See?
But they that will.
That's the difference.
Your willingness.
Right.
But they that will to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts,
see,
which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil.
The what?
For the love of money, you will kill. I'm sorry, we missed that song today. mean, green.
Why you apologize?
But that song was
just sing the whole song, Brady.
Okay. Anyways, I will read that again. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
See that? Continue.
Verse 11. But thou, O man of God,
flee
these
things. Right.
And follow after righteousness.
Amen.
Godliness.
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
Patience.
Amen.
Meekness.
That's the medicine. Come on.
fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
Lay hold on eternal life.
Come on.
Whereunto thou art also called.
See, you've been ordained. Regardless if you're rich or poor, read on.
Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
There it is.
Amen.
So, with that being said, man, hey, look. It's no longer being rich. Just don't be all off into the love of it. And people, stop judging people that's rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people that's rich, stop speaking evil of your riches. Ask R. Kelly. You can have my car, you can have my house. They came and took it. Right. So stop. Stop. Don't do that. Right. People, the Lord is blessed, man. If He bless you, you never know. You may be setting people up to make it to the wilderness, maybe putting you in a position like that. You never know. So just try not to be judgmental or rich, man. And try not to be over-judgmental or poor.
Amen.
You know, just because somebody poor don't mean that they give you a right to look down on them because you got a couple of dollars.
That's right. Amen.
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 All right.
Amen.
So, we got the lines open. Who's open?
Brother Miles.
Oh, Brother Miles? Hey, Shabbat Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shabbat Shalom, my brother and sister. How are you?
Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, so much better. Yeah.
We feel 100% better.
I'm glad y'all got rid of that coronavirus.
Ain't no hand.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, I do. great precept, brother. Great precept. We always need to look at ourselves before we look at anybody else. And we should even never really be looking at anybody else except for if it's really caused a problem to the body. Tithing goes, and can a saint be rich? That has always been a problem amongst our people, whether they're in the camps or whether they're in the churches. A lot of people don't understand that the Most High don't want us to be poor. He never said for us to be poor. And if you look at all the patriarchs, none of them were poor. The priesthood was not poor. One-tenth of the gross national product of the whole nation, that's not poor. And then when you look at when Messiah returns, the world will pay tithes to Israel. Not just Israel, within Israel, but the world. And if they don't come up with their tithes, he says he's going to cause it not to rain on their land. So you don't want to bless me? Let's see how you feel not being blessed when you ain't got no crop. When you can't eat. So that has always been an issue. I remember when I was in the church and people used to be mad because the pastor had a Lexus or the pastor had this. I said, why are you hating? If your job is to pay your tithe and your offering, the Most High says the tithe is His. The first 10 is holy unto Him. It's His. So if you keep it, He says you're robbing Him. You know, so if you're going to give an offering like Cain, Most I can reject it. So great, great precept. I think you really tied it together at the end where you tied in that it's the love of money because you'll do anything for it if you love it. It's not, you know, it's not a curse to be rich, but it is a curse if you love money and you will do anything to get it. Most I say He's the one that makes somebody wealthy. So if you don't love it, He'll bless you. You just, as you said, do you and be holy and righteous and try to live, you know, an upstanding life. Don't be about hurting people. Be about the Most High and He will bless you. So great, great precept. I loved it. And I yield with that.
Amen. Praise, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Father's merciful, Christ. Thank you for that. What about your precept tomorrow evening, man?
We are going to finish up Corinthians. I think we have two chapters of the Corinthians. Romans. we grieve. My mind has been in Corinthians. We'll finish up Romans, the book of Romans. And then it's on my heart to really go into the Gospels. Let's go see what Messiah said himself concerning his kingdom. Let's go get the first person aspect of this, because Paul's writings and Timothy's writings and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all personal writings. Those are all their understanding. That's why a lot of people can't really see that in the Gospels. They might think that they're telling different stories, but it's the same story, but from their perspective, what they got out of it. So, you know, we can all witness an accident, and we will gather different facts. Some will see it this way, some will see it that way, but we saw the same event. And I want to deal with what Messiah said concerning the kingdom and the examples that he gave, so that we understand that, you know, forgiveness is a big thing as far as the kingdom goes, and all the different principles that our Messiah, our King, taught us. So after I finish Romans, we're going to go through the Gospels, and we're going to get the different parables and the different teachings of Messiah concerning the kingdom, because those are the things that we're going to be judged by. And, you know, if you're going to be brought up on charges, you got to at least know what the charges are going to be, so how we should be acting. So we're going to finish up Romans, and then we're going to start into the Gospels of the kingdom.
Amen. All praises. So everybody, that's tomorrow evening at 7:00 p.m.
Central Standard Time.
That's Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries, which is Brother Horace Miles. He's going to finish the book of Romans. We want to be here for that, and he's going to take us into the Gospels as well. So, all praises, brother. Thank you for walking us through the New Testament.
Amen.
Is there anyone, Elizabeth?
Amen.
All praises.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, tomorrow, we want to revisit the kingdom of God, right? Last time we did it.
Oh, you were kind of sick.
Kind of sick.
You want to
repeat that? That was not right.
No, it was right.
I mean,
don't say it wasn't right. It's a lesson was so on point.
You got it written down.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, well, I know it just, if you got a better, well, all praise to the Father.
Yeah, it was
let's
right.
We're going to revisit
you
it, okay?
You just want to redo it.
It's just, I want to redo it, because I think I missed some key points in it. You know,
okay.
I don't know if, So the kingdom of God, okay. So we want to be there for that. That's tomorrow morning here at Sound of the Living Waters.
Okay.
And that's tomorrow at 10:00 a.m. Okay. at Central Standard Time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with all of that being said, we want to everyone for their time. We hope we edify. So we want to remember, people, it ain't nothing wrong with being rich.
Mm-mm.
Stop looking at that as that's the curse.
Mm-hmm.
The curse is that he made you poor.
Oh.
Our silver was like the, you know, the sands of the street. Mm-hmm. Our poor was their rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, their rich in the 21st century was our poor in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, it's nothing wrong with that. He's going to be surprised at that, because he said, I should have shown him read it, because he said, I'm going to double everything for your trouble.
Amen.
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 Amen. So, with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of the Waters, do what?
Read your Bible. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the most high laws, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.